Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Gunslingers right here on...
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
That's us.
Yeah, baby.
Have you seen how busy that syndicated radio network banner behind you is?
Holy cow.
My goodness.
870, 960, 1170, 590.
All of the radio stations in the West.
Every single radio station. Anyway... welcome to Gunslingers, where we talk nothing but fun with firearms, and we try and keep the heck out of politics, but it don't keep the heck out of us, so
leave
we end up
alone,
going there, too.
We'll stop talking.
Yeah, boy, that's going to happen any minute now.
Any minute, I'm counting down.
So, this is a live show, folks. If you guys got a question, you want to call in, I'll try and give you an answer. What's the number, Jim?
That's going to be 866-870-KRLA. Once again, 866-870-5752. And if you're online, or if you can get online, we our streams are up on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Rumble. Just search out Gunslingers. Look for our logo. Look for our thumbnail. You'll see these beautiful visages up. And yeah, and then you can leave your comment or your question right on there, and we can get to you then.
Okay. So there you go.
Good fun.
Okay, so... Gunslingers this week. It's been a week. Catalog is up. I checked yesterday sometime. We're already at $200,000 pre-bid, and we're still a month away. So we're cooking right along. That's going really well. Everything else is just moving right along. I was just telling the guys here, I got a call yesterday from a gentleman down in Southern California, and he said, I'm 80 years old, and I've got 92 handguns and 88 long guns, and I want to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm...
guess what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Now, I'll be heading down that away very soon, and we'll be picking those up. And
well, you better do it soon, because this next auction, we have September coming up, and that's practically full, and we have to wait till December, if anything, and then
Because I think next year what I'm going to do is I'm going to make, instead of doing four auctions in the year, I think we're going to do five, and instead of doing 750, I think I want to try and bring it back down to 500 or 600, because it just flows better at 500, 600, as opposed to...
yes. A little less madness for
you, certainly. 750.
And rushing through.
Well, and this auction was at 758, and we had kind of good news, kind of I don't know news yesterday. Long story short, we had this large collection of antique knives that were sent in to us from New Mexico. And the gentleman, well, let's just put it this way. I had one of the premier describers in the United States do them. The descriptions on these, and they weren't really flattering, because the knives were not what,
very flattering,
unfortunately, what the gentleman thought they were, because you know they were his dad's, and of course he's got sentimental value and such. So what happened is he saw the descriptions and he wanted about almost half of them pulled, and I said, sir, I'll give you the option to just pull them all. Or, you know, leave them all in or pull them all. And he went with pull them all. So we pulled out 55 lots, I believe, yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we're back down to 700. And
only 700.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all firearms. No more.
Thank you, sir.
No art this time. We do have a little bit of jewelry. Raja brought in about 25 things. I don't know.
And just in case anyone is hesitant about the jewelry stuff, they go for really good. Like, if you're looking for a deal and you want a little something for yourself and the missus, that's the way to go.
Yeah,
justify your win.
And to those of you thinking, oh, who would spend money on jewelry at a gun auction? We had a large diamond ring in the last auction that went for $10,000.
Yeah,
I think we estimated valued at $3,000 to $5,000.
It went for $10,000,
and it went for $10,000. Yeah. So, and again, it takes more than one person to be bidding to get it up to that kind of price. So, go figure.
And just in case, again, you need to justify your win with the missus, you get a little something
there
for you.
You,
a little
so you got that original Sharps carbine, and you got the little diamond ring for the missus. I like the way
nice
your mind works.
Nice little pearl necklace or earrings or whatever you need.
You know, that's one stop. You know, You're a giver. You're the guy that would make that.
Hey, it's just me.
Honey,
what can I say?
Look what I got you. Pay no attention to the box behind the curtain.
Said the
boxes. Yeah. And of course, you know, at the last auction, we got caught a little flat-footed with this new stupid 1 in 30 law.
Oh, yeah.
But
we
pretty much remedied that. So we're back to just about everything is PPT'd now, meaning private party transfers.
Yes.
And that is exempt from the 1 per 30. So we do have a few that there was nothing we could do. They came from out of state. We've got some antique, or not antique, but early 1900s Colts CNR guns that came in from out of state. That do, you know, we can't do a private party from somebody from another state.
Nope.
So
they're not here.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have some of that, but for the most part, everything is going to be PPT this time. So
yeah, that's sweet.
Yep.
The end
well,
run.
Yeah, again, for those of you that aren't listening in California, a private party transfer in California is such a nightmare. California has done everything they can to try and curtail you from buying a firearm because they don't want you to have them. Let's just face it. You know, they want you to rely on them for everything, including protection.
And then not provide it.
Yeah. Well, the Supreme Court has said that police do not have to protect you. So
it's
you've
just
got that going for you.
Whatever and, service.
And then, you know, when seconds count, the cops are only 25 to 30 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not a knock on police officers.
No.
They
this
have an impossible job.
Yeah.
But the reality is if somebody's in your house, that phone call may not be useful.
Yeah. And when you've got, say, 250,000 people and you've got maybe 1,000 of
cops.
Yeah,
understaffed and underpaid.
Grossly in both. So there's just, you're on your own. And if you don't have a firearm to protect you, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, you're. That's a good way of putting it.
And speaking of deep doo-doo, let's get to Richard from the airport. Like how I segued that in there?
Wada.
Richard, how are you?
Good evening, you hypersonic gunslinger.
Whoa. Hypersonic.
He's hanging out with Brent, I think. What can we do for you?
You had a 38 special, and it fell into the water, and you reached it and pulled it back out. I know it would still fire. The question is, does that gun have to be totally dismantled and cleaned up?
Well, I think it would depend on two things. First off, is it blue or stainless? And the other is how long did it stay underwater?
Yeah. Fresh or salt?
Yeah, well, okay, three things.
Water. Let's say it stayed underwater for about a minute. You know, it just got submerged and you reached in and grabbed it again. And fresh water. Let's say fresh water.
If it was fresh water and it was in for at least a minute or so, I would say you probably should strip that thing down. Not just a field strip, but a complete strip down. Because what'll happen, it'll get in the threads of the screws.
Water pockets and the springs and stuff.
And it will ruin it. So, yeah, you would definitely have to strip that dude down.
The thing is, don't let that happen.
Yeah, stop shooting around your swimming pool at home.
The idea of concealed carry when you strip down to the bathing trunks. I mean, just take it off, put it there with the towels.
It's the only way I fish. It's the only way I fish.
Me, I just use dynamite. Just scoop them up. It's so much easier.
Whatever's left of them.
Anyway, Richard, you got a joke for us?
Okay, in the Caribbean, what do you call an island that is an explosive island, in the Caribbean? What's the name of the explosive island in the Caribbean?
I don't know. What is it, Richard?
It's Hand Grenada.
Oh,
Hand Grenada. Are you writing your own stuff, Richard?
I'm writing that down just in case.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, there you are.
Richard, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again, Richard.
Hand Grenada.
All right. When we get a little Joe Cocker there. I'm not doing it tonight because I'm still a little under the weather from last week. When we get back from the break, we will have Rick from the CRPA on. Sir. Hopefully we get him on the phone here soon, guys.
Hey.
And you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And my allergies are killing me. We'll be right back.
Your eyes are late.
I don't care how much I gotta spend.
Hey,
Hey, it's Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions. I believe in America, and I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe it's every American's right to protect themselves and their family. I also believe in gun safety and getting the best possible advice on firearms. So if you want to buy or sell pistols or rifles, ammo, and supplies, GunslingerAuctions.com is the place to go. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. We'll give you great advice on your firearms and informed insights on what firearms to purchase. Plus, Gunslinger's has huge gun auctions several times a year. Our next auction is May 19th, where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. Go to Gunslinger Auctions to learn more or call me at 714-939-1172 for location, hours, directions, videos, past Gunslinger show programs, info on firearms, ammo, and our next big auction on May 19th. Go to GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com. Once more, GunslingerAuctions.com.
Too high for me this time. Welcome back, everybody, to Gunslingers right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And yeah, again, I'm still getting over a bug, and I'm being attacked by my allergies, so I'm not singing a whole bunch tonight.
A little from Colin
and I'm
a
sure a whole bunch of people just went, yay! Okay. Let's get to Rick from the CRPA, and I'm sure you're one of them. Rick, how are you?
Exhausted but happy.
Oh, I love to
love
hear
that
it.
Sound. Hey,
anything happy? What have you got to be happy about?
We had an amazing Capitol Day this week. We had 42 people. We met with 46 members and their staff, pushed a lot of the agenda. We had state champions in youth trap shooting that were there. We had Chris Chang, that has been on your show before, representing the Asian and the gay community with guns. We had people from various national women's organizations with us, and we're able to push back on a lot of the rhetoric, do a lot of educating, do a lot of teaching. And then I got back from there late Thursday night and then went out to Catalina with Senator Jones' office and some other legislative staff to fight back on the Catalina issue. And so I'm flying back up early tomorrow morning, and we're going to be working on getting some resolutions and some plans to push back and save those deer. And it's a very good week.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like. Congrats.
Yeah. A little busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little busy, and so that's why I'm going to slam everything through. And when I come on Thursday, I am, other than seeing you guys next Saturday night, I'm going to be disappeared for a couple of days to recoup.
Oh, as you should.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good.
You need it. That's good to hear that you're not alone on all this, that you're having right? people support not just you personally, but the whole cause right now. It's really good to hear.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, we try to work to get volunteers, and all of you have worked with volunteers before, but last year we had two young ladies that came out, and they were nervous because it's not easy, especially when you're in an aggressive office. But this year they came back. They really stepped up and said, hey, we want to be part of your legislative teams that go through from the different chapters. And they got in there, and one of them, Autumn, was in every Democratic room that I went into. And she spoke out. She spoke eloquently and advised them that nationwide, I think this is a great stat, 250 million trigger pulls, not one ambulance.
Wow.
Wow, amazing, isn't it?
Those are
and when she was able to push data and point out that many, many, many other high school sports have several a year, a lot of people took a step back. And when she said, "Why would you want to get rid of the best people to teach firearm safety moving into the next generation?" And so that met with a lot of staffers and members going, "Hey, I haven't thought about that," and including some Dems. So that was really, really good. Positive.
Those are great numbers that you never hear touted, and that's wonderful to hear.
Plus, Jeff and I was talking about what's going to happen with the next generation, and the fact that I had 12 people under the age of 18 all up there, all jazzed, all working really hard, all setting a really great example. I think that was impressive.
That is impressive.
That's very encouraging, too, and you kind of like to slap the parents on the back, too. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. You know, several of the parents couldn't go, so they had other parents go. We had coaches. It was very, very, it was very good. It was a good time for me to recharge and really wanted to share with you guys. It was one of those moments that you end the season where you could say, this is why we're all fighting, because all those people came together and worked their rear ends off.
Absolutely. Big hand to you guys. And especially all the families that helped join that and all that. Because you got to talk to the next generation.
You know, and it doesn't happen, like they said, doesn't happen without the support of people like you guys and others up and down the state helping to move the ball. But I think it's also important for, you know, gunslingers and all the people that listen to this to realize that there are people out there making a difference, and there's a reason to stand up and get out of that couch, like you say, Jeff, and fight, because these people are getting up out of their couches and they're fighting.
Good deal. Good deal.
And I understand the allergy thing. But...
Oh, man, it's brutal. It is brutal. Hey, so we got the good news out of the way. Do we have any, I almost hate to say it, but is...
Bad news?
Yes.
No. Stuff coming up, but I think, I don't want to jinx myself, but I think the next couple of weeks here are probably going to be, I'm hoping, pretty happy, because we're coming down to the wire here in the next 3 to 4 weeks, and we're making some good progress on some bad bills, so...
I'd love to hear it.
Well, any word on that? Was it 2160?
1160?
1160.
Yeah, 1160 got rerouted. Portantino still has it as a gun bill, but he dropped it. The other four bills are in play, but looks like we may be pretty close to defeating two of them outright. And the other two I'll know by next Sunday, because I face them off Tuesday and Wednesday this week. So,
good deal.
Hey, I really enjoy, because I follow CRPA on both like Instagram and Facebook, and you guys are constantly updating, especially right now with all the things in movement right now, and it's great to see updates at a constant. So if anyone's out there, and it goes onto the website crpa.org, but if you want to follow them on socials, stay up to date just in case you're jumping in and out of those. It's really helpful.
Yeah, allegedly I'm going to start doing that from the Capitol. We'll see how that works.
Hey, from the Capitol, news on the go. There you go.
Yeah, trying to do it while we duck in and out of meetings, but we'll see how it works.
Okay. Oh,
man. I know we covered this for quite a while last week, but I'm still getting a ton of people asking me questions at both shops about July 1st and this new tax.
Yeah. So again, everybody does.
I know you're inundated. Is there any updates?
I actually had two members of the assembly, one Dem and one Republican, going, who was, she was not for it, and she's like, have you guys sued yet? And I'm like, for crying out loud, both of you are lawyers. You know how this works. So we can't sue until there's a harm. So the lawsuit's right. Ready to go. We're ready to go. We're just like everybody else. We have to wait till July 1st.
Mm-hmm. Waiting for the other
Again, for those that didn't catch last week's show, what happens on July 1st? And what we're talking about is this new stupid law where it's 11%, right? 11% tax.
That's 11% excise tax. That will be passed on to all of us, the consumer, obviously. Mm. And so we're going to pay 11% more than everybody else is in the country. However, that is being pushed in 9 states now, so we're trying to fight in those.
Wow.
It's unconstitutional to put excise tax on an enumerated right, which the Second Amendment is one of those enumerated rights. Mm-hmm. So they're not supposed to be able to do it, but that has never stopped this legislation.
Wouldn't that be like a poll tax?
Kind of.
Does the Supreme Court have any opinion on that?
So to wrap this piece up, because I have something fun for you, and I know I'm short on time, but it will get sued. There will be an injunction, and it's just probably going to take some time in the first couple of weeks of July. So we'll see what happens with the judges, but that's what we're pursuing. And then I thought for fun, because there's just been so much stupidity in the Capitol with 5,000 bills that every once in a while, when I come up with a bill, find a bill, or come across a bill that's really, really interesting and stupid, thought I would share it with you guys so you know it's just not us. So there's one called Assembly Bill 3162 for interview like sushi. It will outlaw having octopus, because octopuses apparently are sentient and have feelings and emotions and possibly a soul, according to Assemblyman Cowra. And so, therefore, anything that does should not be farmed or hunted. And so California would ban octopuses. So that should go over not so well with a lot of communities in California. But
that affects all of us so personally, Rick. I mean, just
no
more octopus hunting.
I mean, if I can't go and have my taco sushi, I'm not going to be a
hero. What are... I, is, Do these people not have something to do with their time?
This is what happens when you get a full-time legislature. Full-time,
highest-paid legislature in the United States of America.
They've got to come up with something to prove their phony baloney jobs.
Oh, man, you got to fight yourself sometimes.
On a good note, we did kill the two dog bills this last week.
So. Oh, hey, big hand for that. That's bananas.
All right. Well, wow. Rick, doesn't seem like we have too much to
How nice
chagrin
is that?
About. Yeah.
You're normally the minister of bad news, which is not your fault.
Besides the octopus thing.
Whenever I bring good news, Jeff's always like depressed. He's always like, what? Good news? But Rick, you're always supposed to bring me bad news.
Well, it's just, you know, I'm in California, so I'm skeptical.
Remember in November, folks. Remember come November.
Yeah, he's still got a 39% approval rating.
We just heard that.
39%? How could 39% of this country approve of what this idiot's been doing?
Hey, how are the gas prices in Sacramento?
How are the food
prices?
How are the every price?
$7 a gallon is the going rate.
$7 a gallon.
Yeah.
And food prices, it's considerably more expensive for food and lodging in Sacramento than it is down here.
Oh, don't even try to get fast food anymore, folks. Well, just in case you think it's going to be convenient, you better take out a loan for that Big Mac.
I called Sheriff Bianco this week to see if I could get him on again real soon. He hasn't called me back. I'm sure he's pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, do that, because I'd like to get him up. Because you know why I want to talk to him, because what we brought up on air about him maybe going to a higher position, and apparently it's not been quite announced, but it's definitely been bantered around. So that should be interesting.
Quite the banter. It is now part of the K Street rumor mill. So
fueling that fire.
That would be.
We would love to see that. A straight shooter with common sense.
The only part that's funny is I know what he's going to do, but I can't say anything because it's not for me to say. But it's been funny how many people are like, do you know Chad Bianco? Hey, you want to go sit down and have a little bite and we can talk about that? Nope.
Well, you get them to buy you lunch and then just don't talk to them about it.
Oops.
Yeah, there's laws against that, Jeff. I can't do things like that.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, that was the one fun thing was – walking with the people on Capitol Day, and I walked them up so they could go see the floor of the assembly, what it looks like and the stuff, and they're not on there. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I stopped, and they're like, why'd you quit walking? And I'm like, this is the imaginary line that I'm not, as a lobbyist, ever allowed to cross. So you guys are going to have to go in alone. And they all looked at me and they go, that's the dumbest damn thing in the world. I said, that's the law, so you're all set. I'll wait for you kids. You go have fun. So.
The imaginary velvet rope that I may not cross. Gee.
Well, so Rick, it was a good visit.
Man, what a pleasant time.
Yeah. And for those who throw rocks at us in California, see,
when you fight back, you win.
That's it. Yeah. So let's keep fighting, folks. Rick, if anybody wants to continue this fight by donating their time, their money, or joining the CRPA, how do they get a hold of you?
CRPA.org. And if they have any questions, reach out to us at contact@CRPA.org. And thank you, guys, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Same to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you. All right.
Man, what a segment. Love hearing it.
I don't know how to feel.
I was smiling the whole time. I don't know what to do.
I was smiling through that second segment.
Hey, holy cow. All right, well, me and my allergies are going to go to a break.
If you want to call in, it's going to be 866-870-5752.
One more time, quick.
866-870-5752.
Lines are open.
Call in now.
We'll be back right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
Hachu! Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Show right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
Okay, this is a time where we take phone calls from you. What's the number, Jimmy?
That's going to be 866-870-KRLA. Once again, 866-870-5752. 7-5-2.
You got questions about guns? You got questions about auctions? You got questions about etiquette and walking into a gun shop? Ladies, if you got a question about firearms, give us a call.
Yep.
Well, until then, we'll just kind of BS around.
I got a question for
you. Yes,
okay,
yes.
Go ahead. We had a couple of new shooters. You may have seen them. Not new shooters. With our posse, a couple of guys come up, wanted to see what it was about. They stayed the entire time. They helped out Brent and I think Kyle. Anyway, great couple of guys. Had a chance to run with them for a little while afterwards, and they picked up on it just like that. I mean, seriously, these guys are going to be great. They're going to be great addition to the sport.
Awesome.
However, the question came up, and I thought I would put it to the wisdom of the crowd. One of the only lever-action rifle that he had was a Marlin 336.
Mm-hmm.
And he was curious if he could use it. We explained it's pistol caliber only. But he was curious as to which is the better action, because Winchester sounded better to him. Henry is a more modern design. Marlin 336, which is the best lever action for a rifle caliber cartridge?
Have you an opinion?
For a rifle caliber.
Ooh, well,
if you're going to pick just one, because they've all got virtues.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is lever action rifle in a rifle cartridge, not a pistol cartridge.
Which does change the game a little.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my absolute favorite, which is a Winchester model, 1886.
You like that? That's a...
it's a large gun. It does weigh...
Tell why it's so large.
Well, because it's made for .45-70 and...
Just exactly. They knew they had a winner with their action.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was the action wasn't robust enough for the new, more powerful cartridges coming out, so they said, we'll make it bigger.
Yeah.
And so they built this thing.
Yeah.
Which, the Buick of guns, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, right in front of it would be the 76, which is also a... basically, if you took a Model 1873 and fed it steroids and Arnold Schwarzenegger...
Imagine the thing about 200% larger.
Yeah. Then you have your 1876, which also would be my second choice, I think. The problem with the 76 is you're a little limited on...
the cartridges you can shoot.
Yeah.
Because
most of them,
the strength.
Yeah, the 4560 or the 4065 or the...
Yeah.
And neither one of those are very easy to come by. So the 1886, though, you can get in several different calibers. And, you know, 4570 is hard to go wrong with. You can buy it on
the
shelf.
The truth.
Today, you can still get it. And they've got the lever...
Lever Revolution.
That one.
Where they have a polymer tip so that it's aerodynamic. The knock with any lever action rifle that has a tubular magazine has always been you don't have a very advanced bullet design because you have the point of the bullet
sitting
under
right
tension,
on the next one.
Just right up against, for those of you that are watching, I'm showing, right up against the primer.
Or doing some kind of porn thing.
Anyway. We'll work that lever hard and work it fast.
Yeah, boy.
Kirk on the feed likes the Marlin 336, but Winchester is smooth. And Craig Hansen, 4570, 4590, 4082.
4082, yeah.
Winchester 33. So, I mean, everyone's got their
favorite.
How about
no love for the Marlin 1895?
You know, I do like them, and I have outstanding orders for them in both stores.
Oh, well, there's that problem.
Yeah. Of course, Marlin being purchased by Ruger, and they're just woefully behind on getting out the 1895 and 4570. But
they're really, really good rifles, and Ruger really did the Marlin name right. When... Remington went into some
arrears
and they were building the Marlin rifles, and if you have one of those from that period of time, it was about 7 years.
Yeah,
man, they were just
kind of like when Voight bought Harley, if you
if
you can relate.
Yes.
Yeah, they just went, it's a Harley, anybody will buy it, and we'll just throw together stuff
and that's pretty much what happened. But
yeah.
the new Ruger ones, everyone I've seen and handled, everybody is giving them raves.
Yeah,
so please get them out in the marketplace and then we can have this conversation again.
Yeah. Oh, the other one, my second choice, I would not take a 76, would not be my second choice, but the second choice would be a Winchester 94 in 38-55.
That is such a great pairing. I love the caliber. I know you do, too.
Yeah,
you know what? That's a great pairing.
This week, last week on Monday in Norco, which I'm going to get into because Norco, Norco is Horsetown, USA, and this week we had Horse Week And all we, Saturday we had a parade, you know, all kinds of horse stuff on, and we've had the big accumulation was the rodeo this weekend, was going on today as I rode by on my horse. And
you were actually were like the rodeo riding alongside to all the people that are pulling into the parking lot.
I'm riding my horse down 6th Street, and you can tell the Norconians from the out of towners, because the Norconians see you go by on a horse and they don't even pay any attention.
Nope.
Everybody, you know, the out of towners are all taking pictures of me like I'm some, you know, some yahoo on a horse just going down the street. La, da, da, da. Oh, look!
Oh, look, a horse! Horse Town USA, for goodness sakes.
But on Monday of this week, up by Pumpkin Rock, which is kind of our little goofy, it's got its own website. It's this great big rock at the top of the hill, mm-hmm. and somebody's painted it like the that Tim Burton movie.
The Great Pumpkin? No, I know what you mean.
No.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Jack so it's Skellington.
Just, yeah, they painted it orange and they put that kind of a face on it and yada yada. But Diamond J, a friend of ours for 1,000 years, one of her friends is a professional photographer, and he contacted me. He had just bought a tintype camera. Now, tintypes were from like 1850 to 1890. This is the kind of stuff that Abe Lincoln got pictures taken.
Right.
The one and only
real distinctive.
The one and only known picture of Billy the Kid is a tintype.
Yep.
So he has this camera, and it's the box, and you have to throw the carpet over the back of you. And, you know, he holds it down, counts to three, and you have to hold still.
Hold it.
And he took a couple of pictures of me. And I tell you, we were up in a corner right at the entrance of Pumpkin Rock, and I can't tell you how many people went by and waved and stopped, and one lady went by 5 times.
I gotta see that again.
Figure out what the heck's going on over here. You know, here's Rube. You know, I'm dressed up in my cowboy stuff. I have my vest.
That's some great photos there, man. Very period cool.
It definitely came out. He took two official, because he took a bunch, but, you know, he was still playing with,
you know, you got to take the roll of film down to Thrifty Mart and get it developed.
He actually, it was really cool. He takes it, he pulls it out, and he has to keep it real dark, and then he puts it into, once he sort of develops it, he puts it into a metal deal, and then pours this stuff on it, and the picture, it kind of like starts to take form. It was really cool to watch.
Oh yeah.
And so he gave me one. He kept one for himself, and he gave me one, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I saw online that you put up one of them. It was like real.
Those are pretty cool.
It came out really cool. But for anybody in Norco that's listening that saw me up there, then was wondering what the hell is this guy doing?
Photo shoot.
That's what we were doing.
Now you know.
This and other camera tips available on the Gunspringer Radio Network.
Gunspringer.
Gunspringer.
I think I said Gunswinger, and I'm not sure.
Whoa, we're getting back to that.
That's
again, huh?
Back to the porn stuff. Yeah, all right, here we go.
They rest nose.
You know, all kidding aside, I actually saw this happen. What Mark was talking about was when you have a tubular magazine and you've got bullets.
The cartridges are loaded in, nose to tail.
Do you remember The Undertaker? This was a cowboy action shooter from a bazillion years ago. Used to shoot a Henry copy.
Ooh,
the U-Birdie.
That's famous for that.
Yeah, and what happens is when you have a Henry rifle, you have to take the follower and go up quick and then turn to the, what would that be, the right. And
then you start sliding those cartridges down.
On top of each
and
other.
And those are heavy cartridges. Yeah. They get a little velocity going.
And what he had done is he had loaded his 10, and then he, instead of holding the follower, twisting and bringing it down, he just twisted
it. Let it snap.
And that follower come down and boom. And he had an unfortunate explosion go right out the side of his
And there's
rifle.
Nothing but this thin metal wall between you and...
Yeah, which ended up in his leg, that thin metal
perdition.
Wall.
Wow.
So, yeah, he had to be rushed to the hospital. That was at the old Kodo Cowboys days. That's a long time ago. And Mark and I were at a cowboy match today. We were at the Panorama Sportsman's Club shooting with the Panorama...
Panorama Northfield Raiders.
That's it.
Good bunch of guys. Good bunch of talent. Getting ready for an event, which is...
Yeah, this coming weekend, Mark and I will be at the Cajon Cowboys with the California State Championships.
Nice.
Are they doing a Wild Bunch?
They are. I will be there on Thursday shooting that.
Okay, yeah, I'm not going to make that. And the main match is...
That's a shame. You are such a good shot. That really rewards...
It's a time thing.
I completely get that.
I'm so, you know, we're so shorthanded still. And by the way,
speaking of shorthand.
Yeah, anybody looking for a job, especially females, I need paperwork people, folks.
Oh,
and everybody always asks about, you know, why do you always have ask for women, it's because A, they always have better handwriting than men, and mm-hmm. B, they're just more
meticulous.
Yes, you know, guys like me, I do one paperwork and I'm 50 miles away chasing squirrels somewhere. I cannot stay focused on doing it. But females just seem to be able to sit down and stay with it.
Everything looks like a cheeseburger after that first page.
Oh, man.
But listen, this is an economy in which there's $7 a gallon gasoline. You heard Rick talking about that. You're paying, you know, $6 for a gallon of milk and stuff like that. There's money waiting to be made. Gentleman's offering a job. Come on.
Yeah, come on down. We'll be happy to give you an interview and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a family kind of place and all that.
Growing concern, if I dare say. Oh,
yeah. Well, we are going. I mean, like I said, you know, we used to only do 3 a year, and we would do about 400 in an auction. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing 750, and we're doing 4 a year. Next year, we're going to try and do 5 auctions. We're going to do early February, then late April, then late June. Then we're going to take summer off because summer's always bad. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gone. Come back for September and December. Those are going to be our 5 for next year.
Yeah, I've been saying it for years, folks, that we need an extra one somewhere in there because we're getting heavy.
That's what we're going to do. So, all right, well, we had one phone call, and he hung up, so I don't know what's going on with that. What's up with you guys? Give us a call.
866-870-5752. One more time, 866-870-5752.
What song is this? I can't even tell.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my. Janice. Mercedes Benz.
Kevin, you did it again. You picked the weirdest damn versions.
Must be.
All right, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Hey, Jeff from Gunslingers Gun Shops here. If you want to buy, sell, or trade a firearm, come to GunslingerAuctions.com to learn how. We've got fantastic selections on pistols, rifles, high-tech, and military firearms, plus skeet, trap, holsters, ammo by the box, reloading supplies, laser sights, and all the extras you need. If you have a gun collection and you'd like to sell for a big profit, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Our staff has decades of experience in appraisals, consignments, antiques, and more, with honesty and unmatched customer service. Our next auction is on May 19th, where you can bid on over 700 outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles, in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. So if you're buying, selling, or trading a firearm or entire collection, go to GunslingerAuctions.com or give me a call, 714-939-1172. To learn more about our huge gun auction May 19th, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Gunslinger Auctions. That's GunslingerAuctions.com.
I know when to go out. I know when to stay in. Get things done.
I catch a paper boy, but things don't really change. I'm standing in the wind.
Oh, man, that's just criminal to turn that song off.
But do you want to stay on the radio?
Oh, yeah, good point. All right, welcome back to Gunslingers, where we take phone calls, except you're not calling. What the hell's going on here?
It's maybe early, so I'm going to give it to you nice and slow, folks. Maybe I'm going a little too fast for you tonight. That's going to be 866-870-5752. Once again, that's 866-870-KRS. L.A.
And now give it to him in a Cockney accent.
All right, then.
It's 877. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. So we were at Panorama today. Getting ready for the California State Championship.
Tuning up, if you will. Now, I've been away from the game for several weeks, as you know, mm-hmm. and you have been busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Yeah, or two-pecker puppy, like I always like to say. I shot terrible. I don't know. How did you do?
I won.
Okay. I had a feeling because Mike always, you know, wise guy over here.
But it was pretty rugged. There's some real good shooters there. Old Brito photo shooter, those guys. John Anderson had a good match.
Did he? Yeah, well, I shot with him, yeah. And same with El Roberto. All of them were shooting quite well, and I was shooting quite not.
Well, just you know, I say this all the time. If you're thinking about anything other than the sights, you're thinking about the wrong thing. And when you've got you know, creepy crawlers running through your brain, and you've got man, how do you shoot with watery eyes?
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Because spring was busting out all over up there.
Well, yeah, spring is busting out all over.
And
again, they're talking rain this coming weekend. What in the heck?
No.
Yep. Well, we got, okay, our phones are finally lighting up. And,
bing, bang,
and
bang,
what the hell's going on in the phone thing? They're hanging up on it. Answer the phone in there. What's
Wait,
going
this
on?
This isn't the photo show, so I'm using an F2 lens.
we just had 6 phone callers, and now we're down to 3. Well, let's get to this one. This is Kathy from I Don't Know Where. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm driving, but I'm not a movie person, but I was wondering if you guys could explain that, you know, that famous actor that's going to go on trial. He's very obnoxious.
Alec Baldwin.
And then the lady that just got convicted, but that position on a movie set, is that something that is legal requirements to do that? Is that a job that people can get?
The armorer?
This was the armorer/instructor, yes, and she was the daughter of one of the most famous and one of the best in the business. Mm-hmm. But the story breaks down a little bit there.
Yeah, he's trying to claim that the gun pulled its own trigger, which is a literal impossibility. There's a lot of shenanigans going on, but this is atypical for leftist Hollywood, you know. Do rules? As I say. Yeah, yeah, rules for thee, not for me.
What happened was They were doing this on the cheap, mm-hmm. and the old man was not available at the price they offered. But I think, and this is an I think here, giving his daughter a chance to get into the game, work some low-budget pictures, build up a resume. So she took the job for rather less money than the absolute pro would. Then she gets to the set, and they're doing a couple of things that are absolutely not done.
No, sir.
That is, they were playing with the firearms to be used on the filming off the set, including plinking away outside the set with the guns that were later used on the set.
On set.
And that is, I don't know how much control she exercised over that, but she kind of got bum hustled here.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know some people that were on that set.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing would be, are there other famous instances where things went awry? Other, you know, in history?
Well, of course, there's Bruce Lee's son, Brandon.
Brandon? Yeah. That misfire.
That was a gun that was shot with a...
using blanks, I believe, and one got lodged.
A bullet. I think it was primer only, and they used it to show... Because when they show from the front, you want to be able to see bullets in the chamber. So they had primers only, and one of the... projectiles got lodged in the round, and then they put the full force 5-in-1s, which is a full force blank, and that had enough
oomph to drive it out the barrel.
Yeah, and shoot him with a .44 in the stomach, and that's what killed Brandon Lee. So
there was another actor, Hexum.
Oh, Eric.
Who using a blank cartridge was playing around, put it to his temple, and pulled the trigger.
Oh, yeah.
These things, blank cartridges are not loaded with a projectile nor to the same force as a cartridge, but there's enough pop in there that it blew the cardboard wad that keeps everything in place through his skull.
Yeah,
so yes, this has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And are there requirements to hold this position? I mean,
oh, yeah.
And liability has got to be high.
Oh,
yes.
I would imagine so. But again... it was done in New Mexico, where they probably have different codes.
More relaxed.
Yeah, and they hired, unfortunately, instead of going after a well-versed armorer, they went for somebody new who was probably trying to do their best, but...
was getting pushed around by the star power.
Mm-hmm.
And again, playing with the guns.
Well, and the fact that no matter what you do, you know... Never do you point a firearm at anybody and pull a trigger.
Unless you're willing to destroy it, right?
Exactly.
That is.
And so, you know, every part, this guy is just wrong. But you watch, he'll skate because he's a leftist and he's got money. So he'll buy his way out and in 5 years, he'll be back on top.
Well, I just was curious. I love your show, and more Norco information is also.
Well, are you a fellow Norconian?
No, just a horse person.
Okay, fair enough. All right, very good. Thank you, ma'am, and we'll talk to you next time.
You know what's crazy? My uncle got a call from Brandon Lee's sister. My uncle had passed away now, but he got a call, and I remember him getting the call about Brandon and him just weeping. He taught Brandon Lee how to play Dungeons & Dragons. They were friends that did martial arts together, and I remember the day, I think we were at Disneyland, he got the call and walked away and came back very upset. And I was like, what happened? My aunt told me. I was like, wow, I didn't even know they were that close.
Do you remember Benny from the shop, Benny Sr. and Antuna, his son?
Yeah.
Benny was the godson of Bruce Lee's father.
Oh.
So Bruce and Benny went way back, and Benny's no longer with us either now, but crazy.
Wow. Yeah. I remember you were telling me about your trips up north to go to the gravesite.
Oh, well, right? Yeah, when I lived in Seattle one time, a friend of mine, we were bored, and I think we had a few too many beers, and we decided it started with a trip because of Jimi Hendrix, because my friend Richard, this was Christmas Eve, and my friend Richard, his dad was buried right next to Jimi Hendrix. And he goes, hey, you want to see Jimi Hendrix's grave? I was like, well, I guess. I was the only one with a car. He wanted to put flowers on his dad's grave. So, okay, fine. And so that's why I saw that. And then it was like, hey, you know, Bruce Lee's buried up here too. So we found Bruce Lee's grave. We walked out to it, and we're standing there looking like a couple of idiots. You know, there was three of us, me, Doug, and Richard. And we're standing there, goes, yep, that's Bruce Lee's grave. And here comes a giant flock of Asians, you know, and it's like, oh boy, I think we should probably leave. So as we walk by, Doug, being Doug, goes, owed me money too. We took off. That was the end of that. All right, let's get to, let's see, which one are we? Howard in L.A. Howard, what can we do for you, sir?
I was going to make a recommendation for these people who are looking for their first home defense weapon,
okay,
that they actually should consider going to like a shotgun range and watch the people that are shooting, maybe trap, because I found that easier, and talk to them.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They gave me a lot of good information, and I got to be from a little bit better than mediocre to a lot better than mediocre.
Sure.
That's your trap game?
Yeah. Well,
see, but with trap, there's a difference between home defense and trap shooting. See, in trap, they're going away from you.
Yeah. Yeah, true that. Well, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Honestly, yes.
A pump shotgun in the house is my particular choice. Yep. I know some people don't agree with that, but the sound of a pump shotgun 99% of the time will take care of any and all issues, and most people, when push comes to shove, you don't want to have to shoot another person. Yeah, nope. So just the noise and the person leaving should be good enough. All right?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. You bet. Thanks for the call.
With as much as they're trying to limit education on firearms on every round of going and having to get any type of education on there, you got to remember that the people at the range, people at the gun shop, at the range, they all are able and willing to help you.
Those are the people that use these things on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
You're right.
And so just like when you guys are at your guys' shoots, everyone's helping each other. This is a community of people that want to make sure that we're using our tools correctly and we're safe around them. And that's everyone's main objective, is safety and then protection.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. And again, the sound usually takes care of the issue.
I tell people
the best fight's the one you can avoid.
Better than a bark, so just let them know that.
Or as my old health teacher used to say, discretion is the better part of valor.
Hey.
So there you go. We're coming up on a break at the top of the hour. We got Chandra and Salinas. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. And right after that, we got Jimmy in L.A. We'll get to you. We're going to take phone calls for the next hour, so give us a call.
866-870-5752. One more time. That's going to be 866-870-KRLA.
We are a live show. We will take your calls. Give us a call. What song we got going here? Oh, little Jamie's crying. I heard that on the radio when I was writing this out the other day. I was like, oh, I can put that one in. Okay, you're listening to Gunslingers right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And we'll be back with Phoenix and Inland Empire right after this.
Join us.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. You're listening to the Gunslinger Hour, brought to you from behind the Iron Curtain in Radio Free California. Welcome back, everybody, to the Gunslinger Show right here on...
The Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And yes, we do the intro again because we've just been joined by Phoenix... And the Inland Empire.
Welcome.
Our new affiliates. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Friends and family of the Gunslingers.
And for those of you that aren't watching live, could you, anybody notice that Jimmy's got some new moves for the intro music?
I'm always trying new moves. That's me, Jimmy New Moves McGee.
I tell you what. All right, as promised, let's get to the phone calls. Again, Jimmy, quick with the phone number.
That's going
to
be 866-870-5752. Once again, 866-870-KRLA.
And let's get to Chandra from Salinas. Chandra, what can we do for you, ma'am?
Hi, guys.
How
I just want to say, first of all, that I'm a big fan, and I have been listening to you for close to 3 years.
Wow,
I found you when I found Dan Bongino on that other radio station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you guys were on Saturday mornings, and, you know, that was cool. And then I migrated stations and showtimes with you.
Thank you, kindly.
So, thanks for hanging with us.
You are very welcome, and I've never called before because I don't know anything about guns, and that's why I listen to you.
What we're for.
Yeah, but so I have an answer. However, I do have an answer to a question that you guys posed a couple of weeks back.
Okay. I like the community here. This is good. Yeah. Go.
Yes. Okay. So it was the question about the Minutemen and how many shots they could fire in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I toured the museum at Morristown, and they said that they would hold... the balls, they'd have the wadding, you know, wrapped around them and twisted already in their teeth, and they would have them like that, and they could load and shoot every 6 seconds.
6 seconds? Wow.
That's a little questionable.
Rate of fire that is a little optimistic.
Yeah.
We think.
Okay, well, I'm, you know, picture the heat of battle,
mm-hmm.
and you're fully adrenalized.
Oh, yeah.
And you have all, you know, you have like 10 balls in you. I mean, I'm not saying they could keep it up. You know, they had to load them and then hold them in their teeth and then put them in. But I'm pretty sure you could do it in 6 seconds. I bet you could do a test.
First of all, that would be fun.
Uh-huh.
That would be fun. You know what? Let's throw that out there to the listening audience. Jeff and I are of the opinion that it's a real good shooter could do 3 and an absolute crack shooter could do 4 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's somebody who thinks they can do it faster than that, we'd love to hear from you.
That would be, no pun intended, smoking. Because keep in mind, now, revolutionary, we're talking flintlocks. So not only are you going to have to put powder down, then you're going to have to put...
the projectile down.
Yeah, a wad and then the ball on top. Shove that down and then put...
you have to prime the pan.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, you got to get...
The wad and the ball were together and they had them twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And so all they had to do was put the powder down, put the ball and the wad down... bang it and shoot.
Yeah, and all the while having lead malted milk balls being shot at you,
of course.
So,
but these guys are highly motivated. That they were
that's tough to argue.
Yes,
with
to not have their pieces blown off of them. I would be pretty motivated to run the other way.
Yes. Shauna, do you know the Sharps series of television programs with Sean Bean? It details a bunch of sharpshooters in the British Army during the Napoleonic War era. And they spend a lot of time going through the careful details. It's actually worth watching because they go through the details of trying to get their marksmen to fire as many rounds a minute as possible. So I would encourage you to take a look at that. I recognize this is not museum stuff, but it is a very, very realistic portrayal of what's taking place.
I'm going to try to get us an answer, at least look at some video. So next time when we come back on, I'm going to try to get them on.
What do you got in a flintlock? You got anything flintlocks in
there? I don't. I mean, I've got them at the shop. But
we got to try this. We got to do this one of these days.
You know what? We will definitely give this a try. And now, I am not an experienced black powder shooter, but I'd be lucky to get one in a minute.
I'll bet you could do a little bit better than that because you know your business.
Well,
but I'll tell you what, Shauna, I do know this. I have read I'm a historian as well as a professor, but I have read an historical work that said the longbow, because of its rate of fire, was actually superior to a musket up until the 1830s, just because you could fire 10, 12, 14 arrows in 1 minute, aim shots in a minute, whereas a trained musketeer would be hard-pressed to get more than 3 or 4 a minute. That's my information. If you have others, by golly, don't stop calling.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely not. I have other things to talk about. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, too.
Absolutely, okay. Thank you.
And yeah. That opens up a line at
866-870-5752. One more time, that's 866-870-KRLA.
Right.
So I'm just looking up a little bit. Thoughts on tactical? Okay, the ideal number of 3 aim shots a minute is consistently cited for flintlock and so what is that's an every what 20
that's
seconds
one every 20 seconds
20 seconds
six yeah. seconds is not that far off, but there's simply a physical limit to what you can do.
6 seconds is cooking.
But I like the idea, the picture of them already having the balls wrapped in a in their linen cloth and holding those things in their teeth. That would certainly speed the process. But you've still got the physics of the thing.
Well, and again, I mean, Mark and I have competed in so many matches. And once that buzzer goes off in your ear, you become a quivering jellyfish. And nobody's shooting. You're just shooting at some steel flat targets.
You're not having to worry about, like you said, the molten note balls coming at you at 1,200
feet
per second.
69 caliber is big. I mean, this is like the size of a quarter round with about 300 grains, something, 250, 300 grains of solid lead coming at you.
And if it hits you, you are going down. I don't care where it hits you.
Yeah, I mean, it hits you in the arm. Your arm goes with it.
Literally.
You know, and oh, look, there's Bob. Oh, there went Bob.
Bob,
where'd your head go?
Just stay focused, boys. Keep loading.
Shooting. Wipe the blood from your eyes and continue shooting, boys.
Oh, man.
The daunting nature of warfare under any circumstances, but especially that.
Let's get to Jimmy in L.A. Jimmy, what can we do for you, sir?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'll make this quick. I have a 4570 by Petrosoli, and I just got a 6.5 millimeter. Okay, what I want to know is I want to put on 34-inch barrels on both rifles, and then I want to shoot solid brass bullets. What are the pros and cons?
Ooh, well, first off, turn your radio down a little bit so that we can, that way we don't get all kinds of crazy sounds. Pros and cons. Well, pros, I mean, obviously, with a longer barrel, you're going to have some more accuracy.
To a point.
Yeah, I said some.
Yeah.
You will also get, in theory, you will get a little bit faster moving bullet because the powder will be able to burn more inside the barrel.
How long a barrel are we talking about?
He said 34 inches.
34 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a point at which the propellant, which is carefully tailored for modern firearms, there is a point at which the propellant will have burned completely, and then the friction of the barrel will start slowing the bullet back down.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're playing with the proper loads, the proper powders, et cetera, because what Jeff says is true. It will keep burning. But once it's burned out, now you're
counteractive.
Just exactly.
Yeah. So
34 seems kind of long.
Yeah. I mean,
and boy, unwieldy.
Maybe for a shotgun. But yeah. And if you're looking octagon barrel, that in a 45-70, that is going to be a big hunk of steel.
Are you a power lifter?
You might have to become one. Just out of curiosity.
No, sir, but
go ahead.
I'm 6'1", 235
pounds. Okay. That'll get it. Yeah, you'll be able to heft it.
And your Petrosoli, is this a Sharps replica? What kind of rifle are you talking about?
It's a Sharps replica from Big Timber, Montana.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Well, if it's from Big Timber, Montana, that's not a Petrosoli.
It's a C-Sharps.
Yeah, that should be a C-Sharps.
That's even a better gun.
But if you have one of those, I would leave it alone because that gun is just a shooting machine all on its own. You don't get much better. I would rather shoot a C-Sharps than an actual Sharps rifle.
Agreed 100%. Yeah. That's about as fine as it.
I own like 5 of them, and I absolutely love them. So I would just leave that one be. Now, you're 6'5", that's a Creedmoor, I'm going to guess, 6'5 Creedmoor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 34-inch.
Again, you're going to run into your burning through the propellant and starting to create friction again.
Yeah, I would really...
24, 26 tops.
Try and find, like, go up to Angeles Crest. They've got some long-range matches up there. Go up there and talk to some of those folks and watch what they're shooting. That would be my first...
That's not wrong.
Yeah, idea. Before you spend the money and then find you're going to have to find a good gunsmith because he's going to have to, he's going to have to crown it. Yeah, you're going to have to put that barrel on and he's going to have to headspace it and get it set correctly. And there's a lot that goes into that. It's not just a matter of screwing something in. So,
That's why I'm calling Gunslinger. I think you're the best out here.
Thank you. Sir.
Hey, listen, go to a match, do as Jeff suggests, and get back to us and let us know what they tell you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, what about shooting solid brass bullets?
If you're talking copper as opposed to brass, if you're going to hunt in the state of California,
that's all you can.
That's what you're shooting. So yeah, there's a body of evidence to that you could draw from on that. As a rule, copper is going to be lighter than lead.
So you won't get the same ballistics.
So you're going to have a whole different ballistics that you're going to have to follow. It tends to be lighter, so you're going to have to dial in the gun once you've worked up your load. But it's perfectly practical and perfectly doable.
And if you're not hunting, stay with lead. All right.
Well, if I'm shooting brass, wouldn't it hit harder than lead?
No, because it's lighter and. Think about the dynamics. When you've got something heavy that's cooking, it's going to hit heavy. When you've got something lighter, it's going to flit off.
It will maintain its structural integrity a bit better. But, it's force equals the physics of it is force equals mass, mass times velocity. So what Jeff said is exactly correct.
Yeah, I just said it in the layman's term. All right, Jimmy.
Okay, I thank you very much. I'll call you next week, so I got some more questions.
Please. All right, very good. We'll talk to you then. Do. Appreciate the call. Take care.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, that's what this show is about, folks. Yeah. Phone calls. We get your phone calls. We get your phone. Anyway, give us a call.
866-870-5752.
You're listening to Gunslingers right here on...
The Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And we'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Watched you bring my world to an end.
Hey, it's Jeff from Gunslinger's Gun Shop and Auctions. I believe in America, and I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe it's every American's right to protect themselves and their family. I also believe in gun safety and getting the best possible advice on firearms. So if you want to buy or sell pistols or rifles, ammo, and supplies, GunslingerAuctions.com is the place to go. My staff and I have decades of experience and knowledge. We'll give you great advice on your firearms and informed insights on what firearms to purchase. Plus, Gunslinger's has huge gun auctions several times a year. Our next auction is May 19th. Where you can bid on outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. Go to Gunslinger Auctions to learn more or call me at 714-939-1172 for location, hours, directions, videos, past Gunslinger show programs, info on firearms, ammo, and our next big auction on May 19th. Go to GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com. Once more, GunslingerAuctions.com.
Spend my whole life through loving you.
I need echo.
Yes. Loving you. Loving you.
Ryan, you got echo in there?
Winter, summer, springtime too.
450 milliseconds of delay.
Loving you. Thank you very much. I'm loving you.
Welcome back, everybody, to Gunslingers right here on...
The Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
And once again, either Kevin got that wrong or I wrote it wrong. That was supposed to be...
Treat me like a fool, treat me mean and cruel, but love me.
Anyway. Swing and a miss. All right. Again, this is a live show. We are a live... phone call taken show. Give them the damn number, Jimmy.
That's going to be 866-870-5752. Once again, 866-870-KRLA.
All right, let's get to Robert in Sherman Oaks. Robert, what can we do for you, sir?
Evening, Robert.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Thank you. Oh, doing fine.
Good night.
What can we do for you?
Good. You know, Hey, Mark, this is Robert. I've met you, but you know who I am. Mark turned me on to your show, the second time listener. You guys are really awesome, very informative.
Well, thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Thanks. We do the best we can.
Yeah. So, you know, Mark, you know, I was going to go see Mark a couple 2 weeks ago and talking about some big game rifles. Do you remember me, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, big game.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I was listening to the show. I'm like, you guys are great. Just want to say, hey, you guys are very cool and very informative, and you have a long-time listener from now on.
Oh, wonderful.
Appreciate that. Give us one more sentence on big game rifles. What are you thinking? What are you going to hunt for again? I remember this conversation.
And any 34-inch barrels.
no 34-inch barrels. The big boy is a 470 nitro.
That's a big boy. Oh,
yeah. That will drop anything on the planet, up to and including, I think, semi-trucks and baleen whales.
that one. And then there's one I'm going to bring to show Mark. It's a tri-barrel. It's a double barrel 16-gauge with, I think, a 7mm underneath.
Yeah, what they call a drilling.
Drilling.
What's it called?
A drilling.
That's called a drilling.
Mm-hmm. A drilling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's made in Germany. It's a unicorn. Can't find any information on it.
Oh, bring it by. We can.
Yeah, Jeff would be able to sort that out for you.
I probably sold 50 to 100 of those over the years.
We just had one in the last auction.
Yeah, we had a Krieghoff.
Yeah,
Krieghoff is upper crust.
Yeah,
we should talk about what a drilling's for. Give it a moment on that.
Well, real quick, go ahead.
Oh, well, a drilling was a gun that when you had permission to hunt on the Lord's land or wherever you're going hunting, you wanted a gun that if you came across grouse, you could drop that. If you came across a turkey, you could shoot that. If you came across a red deer or a boar, you could shoot that. And the idea was you'd have one gun that could do it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most of them would have a rear flip up, rear sight. So if you wanted to use the shotgun, you'd just have the bead in
just
the front.
Just the bead on the end.
And a little button on the side that would pop up the rear sight, and that would for the rifle underneath.
Yeah, I was telling people when the game changes, you don't have to change your rifle. You had it all right
just
there.
Just exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, you know,
gun.
You guys are gunslingers. I will probably come and see you because I inherited these guns, and these are anomalies. Like I have something from a Wesley Richardson.
Oh, yeah. Wesley Richards. Great English company.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, and then I think it's a takedown. It cracks in half.
Oh, yeah.
That's all good stuff.
Yeah, and there's some really cool stuff here, like a Stephen Grant and Sons.
You're talking my lingo. This is stuff that we sell all the time. Grant and Sons, great shotguns.
And that actually came with the original box, the cleaning rods, and everything.
Nice.
That will not hurt your numbers.
Yeah, when you're ready to make a fortune, come see me. We'll be happy to sell that stuff.
You know, like I said, these are things that I inherited, and I'm like, I am a gun guy. You can ask me how many guns I have. I have no idea. But
that's a good starter kit. Yeah.
You know, these firearms, you know, I have beautiful, you know, shotguns and stuff. I'm like, you know, some of these are, what am I going to do with a 470, you know, take down, like you said, a bus?
Well, we do sell literally from South Africa to Alaska, and I've got large amounts of customers in both of those places that love that stuff because that's where you need that. My last auction, we had some A-square bolt actions and everything from 416 Rigby to, you ready for this? 577 Tyrannosaurus. This thing was just...
Yes.
It kind of looked like a stick of dynamite with a bullet in the end of it.
A torpedo in the Das Boot.
Exactly. Yeah. And just... Oh, wow. There are videos of folks shooting one of these.
Once.
Yeah, and literally every one of them ends up on their backside.
Kills on both ends. If you have a problem with Tyrannosaurus or Dimetrodon, it's a solution.
Yeah, or Megalodons floating around in your swimming pool or something, you know.
While you're just trying to harvest the octopus with your 38 pistol in your holster.
Megalodon ate my octopus.
No!
I hate when that happens. Anyway.
So also, do gunslingers, do you guys auction off as ammo as well?
You know, I don't auction off ammo, and here's why. There's lots of rules about selling used or so-called used ammo, but we do buy it because I have other outlets for it. So, bring it in, and I'm happy to. We'll make you a cash offer on that.
Oh yeah, the ammo, and then I also just throwing this out there is I have brass shells and primers and stuff and lead, not loaded for 500 nitro.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bring that in. We will definitely find new homes for all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And let me back up a little bit on the ammo. It, sometimes we do sell ammo at auction, but usually it's in the antique, like when we get 44 rimfire, which obviously for the Henry rifle. Boy, the last time we had an actual box of that, it went for
a lot.
Man, yeah, it was like five figures.
How about something like Kynoch ammo, the old 400, 500?
That is usually something that we'll sell in other ventures. Okay. Yeah, it cool ammo, but it's not quite the antique that, you know, that's more European. People are looking for Old West when it comes to the auction.
Makes sense.
Right. Well, yeah, like something like the one, the 470 Nitro, it's made by, I think, K-Y-N-O-C-H.
Kynoch, that's what we're just talking about.
For like the 470, I think I might have like 20 boxes of that.
Mm. You know? Somebody wants that.
Yeah,
somebody
absolutely
wants
bring
that.
It in. In fact, you said you have the rifle in that, Cal?
I do.
Yeah, see, what I would...
By Victor Sikorska.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, what
I would recommend on that, what we would do for you there is package. we would sell it as a package, the rifle with the ammo.
Right.
Okay, that way the person that's purchasing it understands. Yeah, well, it has something, you know, he understands that this ammo is
specifically made.
Yeah, so that is something we would do, and I think you, let's just say you'd probably be getting something along the arms or the lines of an arm and a leg for that.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think you'd be very happy with that.
Torso included.
Yeah, the backstory, these came from when my father passed in December. At 92, which is, you know, long life, he had a cousin who was a big game hunter,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea that my dad inherited these. Uh-huh. I remember being back in New York and in his room, like, oh, look at the size of that buffalo on the wall.
Wow. Yeah, I shot that.
You know, no, but I didn't know my dad got them until I went through.
I bet he had some stories.
Yeah, oh man,
well, I was a small child when I saw him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, Robert, I'm serious. Bring that stuff by or give me a call at the shop. I'm there Tuesday through Saturday. Give me a call, 714-939-1172, and we'll definitely find them a new home, and you'll be very happy with the outcome.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I did speak to Mark 2 weeks ago, and he did give me your guys' info.
Yeah,
so.
Very good.
And I was listening to your show, and I'm like, well, I got to call these guys. No one's calling. I'm going to call.
Oh, perfect.
All right. Thanks for popping in, Robert.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
I will stop by and see Mark on Tuesday.
Okay.
Show him a couple. All right, guys. Thank you. Keep up the good work. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Great call.
Okay. Well, we got Farmer Tice and Mike from El Segundo. We'll get to you guys as soon as we get, because we got a hard break coming up in about a minute and a half. Speaking of auction, May 19th. It's less than a month away already.
How does that happen?
I mean,
time
it was just
dissolves.
February, and oh, we're so tired. Oh, you know, it's the way down the road, and
no.
It's already less than a
it's
month
like
away.
It's like Doctor Who or something.
Are we in the TARDIS?
Yes.
What are we doing?
Oh, man. Or Sherman and the little dog with the
Peabody and Sherman?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Give me all the references. I'll eat them all up. Come on.
You got kids, don't you?
It goes by way too fast, and the older I get, the quicker it goes.
Man. And it just blinks. I mean, we know what's great is that we have a bunch of people already checking it out. And Bob Hosa from YouTube right now, mm-hmm. he said he got some great stuff. He lives out in Dana Point, so he wants to go check him out firsthand. I told him, come on in. If you have a chance, folks, come on down the shop.
Oh, Roy Orbison. Okay, really quick. When I was a kid, I used to, you know, I had to get up and go to school on my own. So I had to get up, make my own breakfast, and get ready for school. KTEL used to do this thing on commercials, and they'd show Roy Orbison's greatest hits, and there was this little cardboard cutout of Roy and his song dun, da, 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 dun, da, 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 dun. And it was this cardboard cutout with his cardboard arm. I used to die laughing every time I saw it eating my Captain Crunch. Anyway, that was that story. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on
the Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
We'll be right back with Roy and his cardboard arm.
Moving forward, using all my breath, making love to you was never second best. I saw the world crashing all around your face.
never really knowing it was always Mish and Lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you.
Welcome back, everybody. Man, I picked some good songs tonight.
Yeah, baby.
I should have been a DJ, I think. Anyway, okay, so.
Welcome back.
Mark 1, did I even get in the top? Well, there was 21 shooters. Did I get in the top 20? I did not have a good day.
Yes, you did, but you finished 10th, and like I said, you finished 4th on a whole bunch of stages, and considering the fact that you are shooting the slowest category that it is possible to shoot exclusive of Black Powder, that's pretty darn impressive. Well, and a bunch of 4th-place finishers, because there's a bunch of cutthroat good shooters up
there. There was some real good shooters. El Roberto was shooting the lights out.
I guess.
And the photo shooter was right behind him.
He's always...
Johnny was doing real good.
And they're all shooting two-handed, and they're all shooting hammerless guns.
Yeah, and me...
One-handed, 45. One at a time.
And I thought Panorama was 6 stages, so I brought just enough ammo for 7. So the last stage was climbing out of the bottom of my gun cart trying
to
find
ammo.
Let's see,
what's this one?
And I got 9 because the 10th round was a 45 ACP, which dropped right through my cylinder, right through the cylinder.
Dropped?
Yeah, and so that was kind of a bummer. So I had to shoot a rifle round, which are considerably hotter.
A little warmer?
Yeah, so it was like bang, 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 bang.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like, okay,
so
that was a wake-up
call. The first
call.
Shot, the last shot, what do you do?
You know what? I just shoved it in there and didn't...
It be a surprise.
Yeah, I didn't want to know.
Every stage is an adventure.
Yeah, pretty much. Wait, I was shooting today. Every stage was an adventure. Oh, and I got the F-Bomb Annie Award.
Oh, I was wondering what John was saying there.
Yeah, because I did not... Well, you know the old... And your horse you rode in on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did it way worse.
Oh.
That was, you know, F-U targets and your mother, I think. I don't even... I was so irritated at myself. I just... Okay, starting on the right, it was... I think it was three rifle targets. You had to start with 3-3-3 and then the center one. So, you know,
bang, bang,
yeah,
bang.
Beep goes off and I went 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8. No, wait.
Oh,
what?
Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. 9. Okay. Oh, the 10. Boom. Put it down, pick up my shotgun, run to the center. First two go right by and hit the ground. And then I load. And then boom, boom, get the second one. Boom, miss. Okay, now I got to reload another one. It's like, okay, can anything else go wrong? I get to the pistol.
Just wait.
Like, yes.
How dare you?
So I draw my first pistol, and I do what I like to call the Ruger shuffle, where you don't quite get the hammer all the way back, and it goes forward, and now you've hit in between.
1, 2, 3. Going.
And when you're shooting one-handed and trying to do it quickly, and I do slip hammer for the most part, meaning I hold the trigger down and I just use the hammer. So it's fairly quickly, even one-handed, to do it that way.
But still.
Yeah, when you do it about 14, 15 times in a matter of seconds.
And your thumb starts getting that tired feeling.
And I ended up with something like, like a 28-second stage, which everybody else was doing it in like 20. And then I had a miss and a P and a P being procedural. Yeah, so that adds 10 seconds to your time. A miss adds 5 seconds. And I think they gave me a spirit of the game for, you know, dropping F-bombs. And, it was...
Day turns to night. Spring turns to summer.
Well, you know, in every Speed Racer cartoon, there was always that one car that went off the cliff and all four wheels, and it exploded midair. That was me.
Already on fire. How did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, no apparent reason. It just caught fire because it got into the air, and that was me. I was on fire, only it was a bad fire. And
on some good notes, that you guys got some good wishes on California State Champions coming up. Patch them quick, Brian Long. Want to wish you guys both good luck coming up. All right,
well, so, we appreciate that.
Absolutely, another world champ. Out
really
there.
Quick, let's get to Farmer Tice in Phoenix. Farmer, we only got a minute, so real quick, go ahead.
Oh, boy, how can you do this to me?
Oh,
I love it.
Hey, Mike from El Segundo was right about that being...
Well, you beat the dead horse. Let's move on to your 22. Go ahead.
Here's my important question. You cut me right to the quick, my friend.
Thank you kindly.
Right to the quick. My son's GSG 1911... Mm-hmm. Semi-automatic pistol. It occasionally has been misfiring, and I looked up for problems And I find too many different things. I just want to turn to you, you three, because you're the expert, and I know you can come up with a solution.
Well, really quick, I can tell you I have sold the GSG. Now, that stands for German Sporting Guns. Mm-hmm. These are an imported 1911 N22, kind of like the old Colt Ace. Absolutely a fantastic gun. I'm not a big fan of the green sights that they put on a lot of them.
That's kind
of
weird.
But other than that, I think the gun is very well made and shoots quite well. If he's having problems, the first thing I would go to is different. Yeah, it's 22s are notorious for being persnickety on ammo. Uh-oh. The first thing I would try is a completely different style ammo. If you're shooting lead, go to copper. If you're shooting copper, go to lead.
And if you can find them,
I've used them both.
The CCI.
I'm still having problems.
Okay, yeah, and as Mark said, if you can find the CCI,
Stingers.
Yeah, the Stingers or the mini mags.
They're loaded a little bit hotter, and they tend to work. Mm-hmm. 22s are by the nature, and we could do an hour on how 22 cartridges are constructed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But because they have a waxy coating on the outside, the gun gunks up quickly. And honestly, if you're shooting a 22, you have to clean it every 50 rounds.
Yeah, and
you really do.
That was going to be my second. Yeah, absolutely. You'd need to break it down and clean it. You brought up Mike from El Segundo. We got to get to him before we get to the break. So, Farmer, we're going to cut you off for tonight. Call us next week with what you
got. And don't dry fire it.
Yeah, yes. Don't dry fire it. Thanks for that call, and let's get to Mike in El Segundo. Mike, as you heard, we don't have a lot of time left. Go ahead.
I hope you could maybe hold me over. I had a couple of questions, but also I especially want to remind everyone to help with the ballot measure, the initiative at protectkidsca.com, CA for California, mm-hmm. and that will reverse laws passed by the anti-gun left-wing Democrats in the state legislature that allow boys to go in the girls' locker rooms, showers, bathrooms, and compete against girls mm-hmm. and women on sports teams very unfairly and very dangerously. So again, people need to help out. Go to protectkidsca.com. Then I had a question for you on the ATF Form 4473. On the revision from April 2012 for question box 6, it called it gender, male or female.
Not anymore.
For the revision dated May 2020, the question they have it now is question box 14. Instead of gender, they call it sex, and there's male, female, or non-binary. Mm-hmm. And that really surprised me because of the date. President Trump mm-hmm. was still president then. So I'm wondering, did the ATF go behind President Trump's back without his knowledge of it?
Certainly.
Or was there some other reason for that?
That was already in the works as before. I think they had that ready to go before.
You also have to have non-binary on your driver's license. Yes. You can't just
check it just because you feel like it that day.
Right. The instruction for question 14 says sex, : individuals with neither male nor female on their identification documents should check non-binary. So I think you're right that it's somewhat tied to the driver's license. So maybe that gave the ATF an excuse to change the form this way, saying, well, some states have it different. But I'm wondering, when someone fills out that form, if they put race or if they put sex and it's clear to you that they're lying on the form, I know you said you don't fill that out, the customer fills out the 4473 form, the customer section, but I'm wondering, if you see something that's totally wrong, what are you required to do, and can you get in trouble if you don't flag it to the ATF saying, well, I know the customer lied on these questions?
Well, if somebody lied and I knew about it, I would literally stop them right there in their tracks and just say, sir, you have one of two options here. You can either write the truth or you can get the hell out of my store. I don't need the sale that badly.
Yeah, and then there's another point where you have something to go off of. Their driver's license has many of those things already on their size. I mean, height, weight, sex, gender, whatever you want to call it, and all. Mm-hmm. And so if it's going against what that's actual factual on their license stuff, they're already citing something wrong. So we can't judge anything on ethnicity or race, even though they mm-hmm. do divide it in two different boxes.
Yeah, which
now
makes no sense. And literally, the 4473 mm-hmm. form that you have to fill out, which is a federal form, you can't ask any of these questions if you were giving these people a loan or selling them a house or renting them a house. You can't ask any of these, but for some reason, the government can. And to single out Hispanics.
I'm always pixelated by that thing. How does that even begin to work? That's a specific question.
This it actually asks, are you Hispanic or not? Well, That's a little racist. What does that got to do with the price of
Asian or not? Are you Indian or not?
And it's so funny because after they answer that question, they go into the next part about race, and it doesn't give a
Hispanic is a race.
A Hispanic, you're Caucasian, so what, or you're or something else, but there's no Hispanic on that side. So even if you do write yes on one, on yes, I am Hispanic, or whatever it is, there's no way to check it off. Where do you go to the next part? So yes,
go to your dictionary and look for the difference between race and ethnicity.
Yes,
but nevertheless, asking that question seems mighty peculiar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, another question is: say if someone comes in your shop to buy a gun, and he's clearly, say, a gang member. You know, he supposedly comes in doing gang signs. He's got the teardrop tattoos under his eyes, indicating how many people he's murdered, etc. Can you say, "I'm not going to sell you a gun. Get out of my shop"? Or are you going to be accused of racism or charged by the government, some agency of the government, saying you're racist? You know, we're going to come after you for discriminating and conducting your business.
Well, that's actually happened to me. I had a guy come in, special order a gun. He was very nice when he came in, and he came in by himself. He got denied by DOJ, and he did not have any of the facial tattoos or anything. He acted very, you know, but when he came back, he came in with some guys that were not very pleasant. And I was there alone on this particular day.
Oh, and, excellent.
And yeah, and it got very hairy.
A little heated.
The guy that did the purchase actually didn't say a thing, but his friend, and they kind of, two of them just kind of hung in the back of the store, and those two came up forward, and this guy had a big bold tattoo across his chest, and we got into it, and when the man realized that I was staring at his chest and talking to him, I think he realized what I was doing.
Picking the spot.
Remember to identify him for the police, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got cameras everywhere, so that wasn't an issue. But luckily, he realized what was going on because he said something, and then the other two guys started coming up at me, and it got really persnickety or however you like
tickly.
To say. Yeah, and finally, I got them to... You know, I wrote them a check for a refund, and they left.
And it's
let's just say you could cut the tension with a chainsaw. It was pretty hairy there for a little
bit.
And
that's another odd thing.
So that sounded also like maybe obviously a straw purchase as well. Maybe, or I shouldn't say definitely, but maybe. Now, how do you differentiate from a straw purchase where someone is basically asking, say, a girlfriend? Or someone saying, this is a gun I want, you know, buy me this one, whatever, get this one, versus a gift, a legitimate gift, where maybe a husband is buying his wife, you know, a gun for self-protection. And
it's a fine wire to walk across. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if somebody comes in and you know, two guys are standing there, a guy and a girl, and he's saying, yeah, this is the one I want, and she's going to purchase it, I'm going to flat out tell her. You know, listen, this if can't you're this. Buying this and he's a prohibitive person, what you're doing is a felony, what he's doing is a felony, and I'm not going to be involved in a felony, so you need to, you know, have him purchase it. Well, he can't. Then you guys need
then
to go.
Then this can't happen.
Yep. Yeah, and that I have handled this. We've 26 years, yeah, we've run into just about everything you can imagine. Mike, we're coming up on a commercial. We got to go.
Real quick. Can the buyer buy it and then say their wife or husband pay for it, write a check, let's say, as a gift, but then the 4473 is in the name of the person who's getting the gun. That's legal, correct?
It is legal-ish. And again, this, you know,
it's got to make sense on site.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and gray areas I stay out of, so I would probably tell them to go somewhere else.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like I said, okay. I do really good, and it's not worth one sale to me. So
I understand.
All right, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for all the great information.
You bet. Take care.
Thank you.
I played this one for you.
I love it. You know I do.
Yeah, I do. All right, everybody. You're listening to Gunslingers right here on...
The Gunslinger Syndicated Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Louis. I see skies of blue and clouds of white.
Hey, Jeff from Gunslingers Gun Shops here. If you want to buy, sell, or trade a firearm, come to GunslingerAuctions.com to learn how. We've got fantastic selections on pistols, rifles, high-tech, and military firearms, plus skeet, trap, holsters, ammo by the box, reloading supplies, laser sights, and all the extras you need. If you have a gun collection and you'd like to sell for a big profit, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. Our staff has decades of experience in appraisals, consignments, antiques, and more, with honesty and unmatched customer service. Our next auction is on May 19th, where you can bid on over 700 outstanding pistols, rifles, art, and collectibles in person, online, by phone, or with absentee bids. So if you're buying, selling, or trading a firearm or entire collection, go to GunslingerAuctions.com or give me a call, 714-939-1172. To learn more about our huge gun auction May 19th, go to GunslingerAuctions.com. GunslingerAuctions.com. That's GunslingerAuctions.com.
Don't put me down, but I got the fastest set of wheels in town. When something come up to me, you don't even try. Cause if I had a set of wings, man, I know she would fly.
She's my little deuce coupe. You don't know what I got.
Welcome back, everybody. It's already the last segment.
Already.
Man,
fastest 2 hours on radio, I'm telling you.
Okay, really quick, one of our regulars, it's his 74th,
I believe.
Birthday. And what did we do last time? You ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Big Jake. Happy birthday to you.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. They're getting the band back together, man.
Let's get to our friend Brent in L.A. Brent, how are you?
Hey.
Hello, grandly syndicated gunslinger.
It's our hero. Look at this guy.
Our hero, Brent. He's turning into the Baba Booey of KRLA. He got into Jen and Grant this week and dropped a gunslinger bomb on them. We appreciate that, as always.
You're the best.
Thank you.
So we appreciate it, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about Passover, freedom, and why God-centered Americans must religiously and morally now own guns.
Absolutely.
For centuries, righteous Americans holding fast to Judeo-Christian biblical laws never dreamt of taking guns away from its citizens. Our founders encouraged and enshrined gun ownership for men, women, and children to protect its citizens from wild animals, criminals, foreign invaders, but primarily from the historically proven dangers of slave democracies, such as Bloodbath Biden, Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, and Marxist Democrats are institutionally and systemically imposing. Mm-hmm. And in ancient Egypt, the Talmud teaches how the Jews unwittingly, trustingly, and blindly walked into Pharaoh's slow-moving enslavement by seeking Egypt's acceptance and inclusion.
Yep.
Initially, Pharaoh's slavery was not imposed. It was accepted as voluntary and patriotic infrastructure projects for the good of the people. But when the Jews discovered the scam, there was no way out. And Marx, Hitler, Mao, and Biden's Democrats learned well these lessons that Jews and Christians have forgotten. It's past time we learn and remember what the devil's democracy already knows.
Yeah, they felt they needed leadership and that type of hierarchy in their lives. And when they forgot that the Lord's been sitting there over them the whole entire time, and so they kind of walked blindly into it.
Precisely.
So, and we all know that the disciples were told if you can't afford it, sell your clothes and arm yourself, because they're going to come attacking you. And just because you get to turn your other cheek if someone insults you, doesn't mean that you have to take a beating from anyone coming after you.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that when Moses gathered up the troops to bail, something like 60% decided to stay there. It was easier to stay a slave than it was to go off.
Oh, yes, you are right.
Yeah,
that's part of what makes Americans unique.
I'm glad
April 19th just happened, and that's important. That's one of the most important days in American, and I'd say even world history. Mm. That's the day. It was all talk up until the battles of Lexington and Concord.
Yeah, shot
and
her
that's when
the world.
That's when you had a bunch of guys who were willing to stand up against, let's face it, the most powerful nation on earth at that point in time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the story of Passover teaches the lesson that freedom, we're not born with freedom.
Nope.
We choose freedom. It's a religious and a moral value.
Sense.
And that's why the average person does not desire it. And that's why, as you said, it was only one out of five Jews actually left Egypt So 20% left, 80% stayed, wow, and disappeared in Egypt.
I'm actually going through Exodus right now, going back through it and just going through piece by piece. And so, dang, this is very prominent in my head right now. So absolutely.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. That's why you need commentary, because it won't say that up front. This is in the Talmud and in the oral laws. Mm-hmm. And so these are the explanations behind the stories when you're reading the written Bible.
Yeah, I think Jordan Peterson did a big piece on it as well. So I've been trying to grab what I can from everywhere. And I appreciate you, Brent, for bringing it up here on the show. It's really a gift.
Bless you.
Shalom, my friend. Shalom.
All right. Brent, as always, thanks for the call.
Thanks for your ongoing support.
And yes, feel free to keep calling and bugging them to call or get on our show.
Yeah. We posted your calls on our YouTube and our Facebook and everything, just saying how much we appreciate. I even commented on them, just letting everyone know that, man, you are coming up to bat for us, and we appreciate it greatly, my friend.
Outstanding. We're all on the same team.
Absolutely. Yep. And Kevin in the booth, of course, he's the one that pulls them out and gets them to us so we can post them up. So appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Kevin.
Yep. Yeah. Appreciate it from all you guys. Brent, we'll talk to you soon.
Love this family.
Take care.
We got to get Brent a shirt.
Got to get him.
One of the Glensinger Syndicated Network t-shirts.
First I got to get some of those made. Brent, if you want a t-shirt, of course, just give me a call. You got my number. Feel free. Give me a call. I'll get you a shirt. And yes, Kevin, but I don't have them in your size. Extra small.
Extra small. Is it a medium?
Okay.
Okay,
May 19th is coming up, folks. It's less than a month away. Go to Gunslinger Auctions, just like the guy in a commercial. GunslingerAuctions.com. Yeah, I sound just like him, don't I? Yeah,
will weird. I find anything exotic there, like, say, a drilling?
I don't know if we have a drilling this time, but we got lots of cool stuff. We've got, did you know that that Colt made some 1911s for the USMC? That they only made 50 or 100.
What?
And they're stamped.
And they're stamped. Mm. And they were turned down or turned away. The USMC has an X through it now. I have a pair of those.
Ooh.
Unfired and consecutive numbered.
And these are in the auction?
These are in the May auction.
If you're a 1911 collector, and there are a couple of those out there, where are you going to find that?
Yeah, consecutive number. We got
That's
them.
Insane.
Yeah, in the they're not in the same lot, but they are right next to each other, so you can get them both if you're
limited edition.
Oh,
it's consecutive. Oh, come on, folks.
And these are unfired new in box.
Goo.
Yeah, so we got some cool stuff coming up. Japanese guns, we've mentioned those. We've got some takedowns.
You have the mama and the baby and the papa Nambus?
Yeah,
right.
We do. I don't know. Well, yeah, the one Nambu, it's a papa Nambu that was Von Dutched.
That's what it was.
Yeah, Von Dutch himself made this gun. He was kind of a backyard gunsmith, and he made some guns. He would take oddball guns and make them into workable firearms, and this one has been transferred into 380.
And, a usable caliber.
Yeah, and it's got his address right down the barrel.
That's kind
of
cool.
Von Dutch is highly collectible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that stuff, of course, we've always,
got a Johnson?
We don't have a Johnson this time. We went on a streak. We had three or four in a row.
I was going to say.
But, yeah, we don't have
like
a Johnson.
You're like Johnsons or us.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You would not like it if I cut off your Johnson.
No, hey.
Sorry, Big Lebowski.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. We got 2 minutes left. Man, this show goes quick. Okay, so again, go to gunslingerauctions.com, click on the bid now button. That's a big box. Of course, if you go on there, it'll prompt you to sign up. And if you do, then you'll get our email blast, tells you what's going on, when the catalogs are up, what's going on with us within the show, and so on. So be sure to check that out. But go to the catalog, everything there with pictures and descriptions. We usually get anywhere from 10 to 20 pictures per firearm. So we don't do the big old fashioned color catalog where you get maybe one picture per page of 15 guns. We got every single firearm has 10 to 20 pictures of it. So you everything is covered. There's nothing that you don't see. So There's that.
I want to make sure that you support the CRPA. Been going to their meetings. Those guys are doing a lot for it. Guys and gals are doing a lot for us. We got a bunch of new listeners here. I'm looking at Arizona and stuff. Hey, those people that are listening to us on our new affiliates, thanks for coming.
And real quick, I just want to tell my sister, happy birthday, Danny.
Oh, my God.
I love you, bub. I almost forgot about you, bub. I love you so much.
All right. And don't forget, folks, to smile. It's a little curve that sets everything straight. Thank you, Leon. We'll talk to you guys next week. We'll be back from the California State Championship. Wish us luck.
Love you guys. Good luck. God bless.